as the winning side. Well, praise God, Mother's Day, amen. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Turn with me to John chapter 12, amen. And we're going to look at a scripture there, and I don't believe the Lord's going to keep us long today, amen. Somebody say, brother, don't make a promise that your body can't catch, amen. But I'm really not going to think I'll stay long on today. But, you know, today is Mother's Day, and we're turning to John chapter 12. And, you know, many times, amen, I guess in church we have this thing where we preachers many times preach to the occasion, right? Mm-hmm. If it's Christmas, we got a Christmas message, right? If it's New Year, we got New Year message. If it's Thanksgiving, we got Thanksgiving Day message, you know, and so on, right? Easter and so on, we preach the message. Father's Day, you know, we try to help the dads, amen, and be encouraged. But, you know, Father's Day come a few weeks after Mother's Day, and, you know, mothers get all this attention, all this love, all these gifts, all these flowers and all this stuff. And, you know, Dad, we get a tie.
I need a flower, too.
You need a flower? Yeah. Right. We can get a flower every time. Right. Some pink frilly stuff, you know, tissue paper inside. You know, but we tend to, you know, we preach the occasion, and I thought about this morning. But yet, you know, my heart comes back to something I shared with you a couple of weeks ago out of Isaiah 50:4, and I said it's one of those anchors in my soul that God has given me over the years. And the verse says that the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakened my ear, morning by morning, he wakened my ear to hear and to learn it. And, you know, the Bible says that a word fitly spoken, and that's what we need. Mm-hmm. That's what's excellent, right? A word that's spoken at the right time. And so I say that because I know it's Mother's Day, but I don't believe this is necessarily a Mother's Day message. Okay. Amen. And it is okay, amen, because how many of you know the Word of God is applicable to everyone at every time, amen, to young and to old, to male and to female, to those who are mothers, to those who are women who are not mothers, amen, applicable to fathers, applicable to husbands, amen, it's applicable to all of us, amen, and I'm just praying and believing, amen, that it's a word in season to those that are weary, amen. Yeah. Because we all have some weariness in our lives, amen. And what I mean by that is we have some things in our lives that are trying to wear us out.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Think about it, amen. There are some things in your life that they're only there to try to wear you out.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There are some people in your lives that the devil has sent your way just to wear you out.
True. Sure.
They just there to work on your nerves. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And maybe even God has allowed them to be there in order to develop something in you that can only come forth through resistance.
True. True.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, you know, like going to the gym, right? You can't get strong without resistance. That's why they call it resistance training,
yes.
Right? Because mm-hmm. you need the weight to resist your effort to lift it mm-hmm. in order to get stronger.
True.
And some of us don't like resistance. Well, if you don't like resistance, then you don't like strength.
Yes.
Amen? Because yes. The only way you can get stronger is that you have to face and overcome some resistance. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so there are some things in our lives that are resisting us. Anybody know what I'm talking
yes.
about?
Yes, sir.
Amen? People, amen, finances, mm-hmm. amen, your past. Mm-hmm. There's some things in our past that keep trying to creep up on us and keep us from going forward.
Yeah.
True.
Trying to resist us, trying to hold us back, you know. Mm-hmm. There are those things, and so I'm just praying that this is a word in season to those who are weary, because all of us, in one way or another, we have some things in our lives that are trying to wear us out. And notice I said trying, amen, because we are overcomers, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. And so we have the victory, amen, and we're going to continue to proclaim it and to lay hold of it, amen. We're in John chapter 12. We'll look at an interesting passage of scripture today. And it begins at verse number 20. We're going to read down to verse 26. We're going to pray and we're going to incline our ear to God's voice. In John chapter 12, verse number 20. Amen. This comes right on the heels of the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And verse 20 begins by saying, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Amen. That's not fair. Let's pray today. Father, we come now to hear your voice. And Father, it's only your voice that we desire to hear. We're praying, God, that you will speak by your Spirit. Father, I pray that you will use me, God, to communicate to your people, to communicate to us all. Yes. Your heart on today, Father. We pray, God, that you will share with us, oh God, your perfect will for our lives. Father, speak to our very situations, oh God. You know where each one of us stands and sits, oh Lord. You know what we're facing now, and you know what we shall face on tomorrow. And so, God, we ask you to speak a word right now in season unto us, a word that we need, a word that we can put into practice, a word, oh God, that will increase our faith and give us the victory in the name of Jesus. Father, we submit ourselves now. We yield to your voice. And, Father, we thank you, God, that you have for us today the words of life. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We just read John chapter 12, 20 through 26. Our title, we're going to take it from the words of the Greeks. The Greek men who had came and approached Philip. Amen. These are Gentiles. And our title is, "We Would See Jesus." Amen. We would see Jesus, or we wish to see Jesus, or we want to, we desire to, we need to see Jesus. Amen. We would see Jesus. This passage of scripture, and again, I believe God's going to get us in and get us out. This passage of scripture is interesting because there's a lot going on here. That seems to, if you're not careful, will slip past you. And part of what's going on here, at least we'll start with this, is that it appears that Jesus totally ignores these men. Amen. These are Greeks. These are Gentiles who have come to worship at the feast. They have come to worship and to honor Jesus. And they went to one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, and they said to him, "We would see Jesus." And they were respectful, too. Because they said, "Sir."
Yeah.
It's good to be respectful, amen. We need more people to be respectful. I am really encouraged when I see a young person who is respectful.
Yes.
Amen. You know, sometimes I go in places, amen, and someone calls me sir, and it's like jolts me. Because I don't get that often, amen.
Yeah.
But when you get it, especially from a young person, amen, who treats, you know, how many of you know, you really do need to treat your elders with respect.
Yeah.
True.
That was something that we were taught when we were small.
True.
Amen. You could not disrespect your elders. If I heard that once, I heard that 1,000 times. Don't you disrespect your elders.
Exactly.
Oh, are you kidding me? There was no such thing as talking back to your parents.
That's right.
When I was coming up, man, you talk back to your parents,
you better have on your, not your walking shoes, you better have on your running shoes.
Yeah, right.
You better have an escape route.
Real faster, you would get it. My teeth will find a way.
Amen. I mean, we had to have. Why? Because it was a respect thing. Do not respect your elder. And it wasn't just your parents. It was even older people on the block.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
This went for everybody. You had to show respect to your elder. There's something about that, amen, that I think. And even the Bible talks about how we should honor the gray head, amen, the older ones,
yeah,
who have the wisdom and who have some experience, because we can all benefit from the experience of the ancients, of the elders, of those who've gone on before us. These men were respectful. They said, sir, we would see Jesus. So they come and they say, we want to see Jesus. And they talk to Philip. And Philip goes to Andrew. That's an interesting thing. Philip goes to Andrew. Philip doesn't go straight to Jesus. Why does he go to Andrew? I don't know. But he goes to Andrew because something is telling him, I just can't bring this to Jesus. And see, here's the thing. We have to understand something. They have seen Jesus do some things. And we're going to talk about this woman who was a mother. And we're going to talk about her a little bit more in a second. But remember the Syrophoenician woman? Mm-hmm. When she came and she had a daughter who was sick, and she said to Jesus, I need you to come and to look after my daughter. And Jesus ignored her, didn't say anything. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then the disciples, amen, got all puffed up in pride and said, Master, make her go away. She calleth after us. That's the interesting thing. She called it after us, but the only one she was calling after was Jesus. It's funny how sometimes we get so close to God, we think it's like we all in. Yeah, God, we. And God's like, what do you mean we? Amen? Listen, sometimes you got to stand on your own feet, amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't try to ride on somebody else's coattails, amen? Jesus is our Savior, so he gives us his victory. But we got to understand, there is a difference between him and us.
True.
Amen. And when people come, amen, if they come and ask you to pray, don't get caught up in the fact that they're asking you to pray, because it's not your prayers that's important. Mm-hmm. It's the one you're praying to who's important.
Exactly.
Amen. Yeah. It ain't about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. But they said she's calling after us. And Jesus still ignored her. Amen. And then he told her, he said, you know, it's not good to throw the food to the dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, because he come for the children of Israel, amen. And she said, yay, Lord, but even the dogs will eat the crumbs from the table, amen. And Jesus said to her, you know, he commended her for her great faith. But see, but she was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a Gentile, just like these Greeks who were coming here. And it could be that Philip, remembering that Raymond, the last time a Greek was asking for help, Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with her at first. So he goes to Andrew, perhaps, and goes, what do you think? Should we take this to Jesus? These men want to see him. Amen. But here's the other thing, amen. You know, Jesus had taught his disciples, amen, that where any two get together and agree on anything on earth, amen, that they would have it.
Yeah.
And maybe Philip goes and says, you know what, Andrew, I need you to get into agreement with me, because I'm about to go to Jesus on behalf of these men.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, amen, when someone has a request of Jesus, we would see Jesus. I need to see Jesus in my life. I need Jesus to move. I need my finances to increase. I need my health to improve. I need an answer to my problem. We would see Jesus.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, when you go pray, you may need to go and find yourself an Andrew and say, come on, let's the two of us agree on this and go to Jesus together and see, amen, and release our faith, amen, because the two of us can come in agreement.
Yes.
With a promise that we can have anything that we ask for.
Yes, yes.
Maybe some of us are praying alone too much.
Wow.
It's good to pray alone, amen. Praise God that we don't need someone to come along with us. But that doesn't mean that every now and then that we shouldn't take someone along with us and say, listen, I need you to pray with me about this situation.
Amen.
Yeah, you got something going on right now, but when's the last time you and somebody else prayed about that thing? I know you've been praying about it, but when's the last time you took somebody and I said, you know what? I need you to pray with me about this.
Yeah.
Not pray for me, pray with me.
Yes, yes, yes.
God has given us some things that we don't often take advantage of.
That's true.
He gave us promises. I said, listen, if you agree and pray about it, you'll have it.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. We want to be, you know, we want to be the, going at it alone.
Mm-hmm.
We're lone rangers. Don't be a lone ranger, amen? The lone ranger had Tom.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Who Green Hornet had? Who he had?
Cato.
Yeah, Cato. I knew somebody would know.
Guess who?
Batman had Robin. Right?
Yeah.
We need some. We need other people in our lives. Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Bring somebody else to pray along with you. Amen. About your situation or somebody else's. So anyway, amen. So Philip and Andrew now. They go and Andrew and Philip. They go and in verse 22. It says they go and they tell Jesus. What did they tell Jesus? I would have to believe they went and told Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, there's some Greek gentlemen out here who want to see you." Amen. Them Greek gentlemen were there for the feast. They were there to worship. Mm-hmm. They were there as part of the crowd. Amen. That was yelling Hosanna. Amen. And they're there, and they say, "Listen, these Gentile, boy, there's some Gentile men out there. They want to see you." And Jesus says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And they said, "Yeah, okay, Jesus, but what should we tell him?" These men want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, sometimes you ever ask God a question, or you ask God for something that you need in your life, and it seems as if He says things that don't quite matter,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they don't quite seem to fit the occasion. We were talking about that in Sunday school today when the 10 lepers, amen, were standing outside the gate and they asked Jesus, amen, "Have mercy on us." Because they were lepers and they wanted to be healed. They wanted to be delivered from their condition. And Jesus said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's the exact same thing, but it's along the line of, if I'm asking God, I need a financial breakthrough. I need increase. I need these bills to be paid. And He says, "Go empty the garbage."
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And you go, "Look, no, Lord, I said..." But how many of you know, see, we don't always pray the right things.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that sometimes we don't have because we ask amiss.
Yeah.
We don't always ask the right things. And God loves us so much that He'll save us some time.
Yeah.
He'll save us some time. That man who's at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus came up to him, amen, and said, "Do you want to be whole?" Because
mm-hmm.
he was crippled his whole life.
Yeah.
And the man started to get religious on him. He said, "Do you want to be whole?" And the man said, "Every time the angel comes to stir up the water," because the first one who got the water got healed, amen. He said, "Every time the angel comes to stir up the water, somebody beats me down to it, and I can never get my healing."
Uh-huh.
Jesus said, "Take up your mat." Amen. Right? Right?
Exactly.
Take up your bed and walk.
Yeah.
What was he saying? "Man, I didn't ask you all that."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why? Because sometimes we just say some stuff. We talk too too much. We say things that we think matter, and they don't matter to God.
Yes, yes.
And so sometimes in his mercy, and his grace, his compassion, and his love, he'll bypass what we're saying.
Amen.
I didn't ask you all that about who beat you down. I just asked you, do you want to be whole? You had, you know what, brother? Take up your bed. Because if I wait for you to give me the right answer, you'd always be on that mat.
Right.
Jesus ignored Nicodemus the same way. Nicodemus started coming and wanted to get all religious. And Jesus said, listen, unless a man be born again.
I know you're a great teacher. That's the only way you can do these miracles, Jesus.
Jesus didn't respond. He said, listen, man can be born again. He ain't getting into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Don't try to be buttering me up, Nicodemus. I need to tell you what's important. And so sometimes, amen, it's not that God is like ignoring us, but he's getting to the heart of the man.
Yes.
He's gonna talk about God's big on needful things. Mm-hmm. Amen. Not just all things, but things that are needful. And so God's gonna cut through the stuff, man. That's like the word of God. It's right, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, mm-hmm. piercing even to the dividing of the soul, the spirit, joint, marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yes.
The word gets down to the heart of the matter, amen? Mm-hmm. And so Jesus answers them, and he really is addressing the man. He said, listen, man, you know, if you want to come, then you're just going to have to follow me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But here's the thing. Some people have said that, well, the reason why Jesus seems not to answer these Greeks is because they're Greeks, mm-hmm. because they're Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And Jesus now is getting close to the cross. And that's why he said, my hour is come, that the Son of Man be glorified. He said that in verse 23. I'm now about to go to the cross, and I came here for the nation of Israel. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But see, he came, amen, to offer himself unto the Jews first, then to the Greeks. Yeah. Isn't that what the Bible, what yeah. Paul says in the book of Romans? To the Jews first, then to the Greeks.
Yeah.
And so now here are these Greeks saying, we would see Jesus. And God, and Jesus said, look, my hour has come now where I need to show myself to the nation. Mm-hmm. So some say, well, that's the reason why he didn't have anything to do with these Gentiles. But if we go back for a second, do you remember when the centurion
yeah.
came to Jesus? Mm-hmm. He was Roman.
Yes.
He was a Gentile. And he came and he said, my servant is very sick at home. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I will come and heal him.
Yeah.
Right away. That's what he said. I will come and heal him. That was in Matthew chapter 8. And the centurion said, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. He said, I'm a man under authority. I know how this works. I tell a man go and he goes. I tell a man come and he comes. How many of you like that kind of authority? Amen. I tell a man go, he go. I tell a man come, he come. I think all of us have it in us that desire to have that kind of authority. Mm-hmm. Even kids have that desire. Mm-hmm. That's why there's always somebody in the sandbox who thinks they're the boss.
Amen.
We playing this game today. And then there's always somebody else who goes up and say, you ain't the boss of me. Right? See, because we all have the desire to be the boss, but we don't want anybody bossing us around.
Yeah.
How come no one ever has to tell you, baby? When did we learn when you said, you can't tell me what to do? Where did that come from? Everybody in here at some point in their life uttered those words. Yeah. You can't tell me what to do. We want to be the boss. I had a friend of mine when I was years ago before I got into the church. He used to always say, he loves saying this thing. He loves this phrase. He used to say, you got to pay the cost to be the boss. He loves saying that. But it's true though, you know that? You want to be the boss, you got to pay the cost. Now, how many of you know, it ain't easy being the boss. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I don't care if you're just the boss of your household. It ain't easy. You know why? Because the buck stops with you.
Yeah.
You're the one responsible. See, some people don't, there's a lot of people don't mind not being the boss because they don't have to take the ultimate responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the buck stops with you. Mm-hmm. Amen. So if you want to be the boss, amen, you better be ready to pay the cost. And maybe it's nice to have somebody go here and go there, but you got to understand, if they don't go here and go there right, people are going to come looking for you.
That's true. That's true.
Somebody needs to hear that because you're about to get promoted. Amen. You're going to get promoted, but as you get promoted, you got to understand something. They're going to be looking to you. Amen. And so this centurion said, I understand about authority. He said, I understand. He said, I tell a man go, and he come. He said, listen, Jesus. He said, just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, right? I ain't seen faith like this in all Israel. And the servant was healed from that same hour.
Yeah.
That Roman centurion was a Gentile.
Yes,
and Jesus responded to him right away. The centurion said, my servant is sick. Jesus, I'll come to your house. Centurion said, you don't even need to do that. So Jesus was not only willing to respond right away, but he was willing to do something that the centurion said, you don't even need to do.
Yeah.
And yet, he don't say nothing to these Greeks. Can't be just because they're Greek.
Yeah.
Just can't be because they're Gentile, because he that's not how he treated the centurion. And we talked about the Syrophoenician woman. She's a Gentile. Now, notice this. The centurion said, Jesus, I need my servant to say, I'll come to your house. Whoa. Mm-hmm. My servant is sick. I'll come to your house. Woohoo. Okay. Syrophoenician woman comes a little bit later because she's in Matthew chapter 15. Centurion is in Matthew chapter 8. She comes and says, my daughter is sick. Mm-hmm. And Jesus ignores her. Wait a minute. That's a Roman soldier whose slave was sick. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. Now you got a mother whose daughter is sick.
Wow.
And Jesus ignores her. He just keep walking. Disciple, get her out of here. She's coming after us. And Jesus then has a conversation with her about dogs and crumbs and all these things. And she said, yeah, but you know, even the dogs eat the crumbs.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, great is your faith. Mm-hmm. Amen. And her daughter got healed. She was a Greek. She was a Gentile. He dealt with her. But now it's deeper into his ministry. He's about to go to the cross. And these Greeks say, and they come with all kinds of respect, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip and Andrew agree together in prayer and go to Jesus and say, there's some Greek gentlemen out here who want to see you. And Jesus starts preaching. And there's no evidence that he ever spoke to these guys. What's going on with that? It's almost as if Jesus is saying something to us. That in the earlier part of his ministry, when he's walking the earth, the centurion comes and says, my servant said, I'll come to your house. And then Jesus walks some more, doing more miracles. And the Syrophoenician woman comes and says, my daughter is sick. He goes. And then it takes him back and forth before he finally breaks down and says, okay, I get it. You, that dog thing, that eating the crumbs, you got me on that one. Your daughter's good. Mm-hmm. Then he walks some more. Amen. And now you got some polite Greek gentleman outside saying, we would see Jesus. And Jesus goes, turn with me, amen. And he just starts preaching. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even go in and meet with them, talk with them, nothing. Look in the Bible, you don't see anything that happened with these Greek guys. What happened to them? And why didn't Jesus even respond? He responded to the centurion quick. Took a little while, but he still responded to the Syrophoenician woman. But now he's not even saying anything to these Greek gentlemen. Why? It's almost as if the longer he walked, he's like, look, y'all don't know me yet. Amen. So now the centurion comes, I need some miracle. Here's the miracle. Syrophoenician woman comes, and he, it's a little bit harder. Greek man comes, it's even harder than that. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, by this time, you just need to believe. You don't need to come and see me face to face. You don't need me to come to your house. You don't need me to encourage you and get into a back and forth with you. All you need to do is to follow me and believe me. And whatever it is that you think you need from me, you'll get it if you have faith. We're not Gentiles. We're not. Well, we're not Gentiles on the outside. Because we are Gentiles, unless some of you are like Sam David, who is Jewish. But what I meant by that is that we're not on the outside. If you accepted Jesus, even though you're a Gentile, you're now part of the family. So I'm not even suggesting that you should look at yourself and say, Jesus is going to treat me like that. But there is something that I think we can take away from this. Do you remember early in your walk, just as Jesus early in his ministry, he responded real quickly to the centurion? But later in his ministry, he's not so quick with the Syrophoenician woman. And even later in his ministry, it seems like he's not even saying anything to the Greeks. You ever feel like that? That when you first got saved, when you first started praying, when you first started to believe, didn't it seem like God moved real fast? Didn't it seem like he showed himself real fast? You prayed for something and boom, it came. And you were like, woo, praise the Lord. You had more testimony back then because you asked and God was moving and you was excited and you were on fire and you were telling people. And then you started walking with God a little bit more. And then you still asking God for stuff. And then it seemed like he ain't there. Like he ignoring your request. And then you get even deeper with your walk with God. And that one doesn't seem like it takes a long time. That it takes some fighting and wrestling. But now you're saying, I've been believing on this. Some of you have been believing on some things for God. Not in a matter of days or weeks or months. You count it in years now. You're counting it in years now. What happened? When I first got saved, if I wanted to see Jesus move in my life, he moved. Later on, it became a little bit of a struggle, but I figured, hey, I got to pray, I got to fast. Now you're at the point and say, Lord, I'm doing everything I know how to do. And I hear from heaven. You have to feel like these Greek gentlemen at least a little bit, because you, every time you pray, what you're saying is, I would see Jesus. I want to. I desire to. I need to see Jesus in my life in some fashion. I need Jesus the healer. I need Jesus the deliverer. I need Jesus the way maker. I need Jesus the provider. I would see Jesus. And you're respectful because you come into the throne room and you're praising God and worshiping God and you live a life, amen, that is upright as best as you can and you come in and you, I would see Jesus. And the clock keeps ticking and hours turns into days and days turn into weeks and weeks turn into months and months turn into years. And there's still some things that you would see Jesus about. How does that happen? And I believe that part of what was going on here that's instructive for us is that Jesus expects us not to be in that same stage where we always need to see him doing something in order to believe that he's doing something.
Wow. True.
When you were fresh in the walk, he said, let me show him a little something, amen. Let me be quick. I'll show them something, amen. Because it was part of helping to build your faith.
Yeah.
But then you started to come across scriptures, amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then, you know, you start to hear about the faithfulness of God, and you start to learn about Abraham and his 25 years. And I know you want to shorten his 25 years into like 3 or 4 chapters that you can read in 2 or 3 days, but you can shorten it if you want. It was still 25 times 365. Thousands of days before he got the promise. And then you read in the Bible that he's the father of the faith. And Paul in Romans chapter 4 tells us that he considered not his body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, that he staggered not at the promise of God, but he continued to give God glory, counting him faithful who has promised. And why is God telling us that? Because he's saying unto you, as you keep walking with him, that's how I expect you to be.
True.
And so if God is expecting us to be like that, we can stand outside all we want and jump up and down and try to get into the window. I won't see Jesus. I won't see Jesus. You better just stop jumping. Mm-hmm. And just believe. Is that some tough medicine? Oh, it's some tough medicine. I don't want to hear that. I want you telling me, preacher, that my season has come so I can leave out of here going, that was a good one. But it's still a good word, because here's the thing. It's still about the God that you and I serve. And the God we serve is a good God. It's just that sometimes, amen, if we're really honest, amen, that this walking with the Lord becomes a challenge. Nobody said faith was easy. And we start to realize that the longer we walk with God, but if we can begin to condition ourselves to understand, I'm no longer the infant.
Yeah.
See, not only do infants need milk, and Paul criticized those. He said, listen, you've been at this long enough, and yet you still need milk when you still be eating meat.
Yeah.
Now watch this. None of us are infants. Not only do infants need milk, but they need milk like what? Every 2-3 hours. Yes.
Yeah.
They crying again. and they got appetites. I used to love messing with my kids when they were babies. Amen. I knew they wanted that bottle, and I would take it. And you all did that as a parent. Y'all took that bottle, and you went like this. Because you just wanted to see the kid do that. So they can sense it in front of them, and they're So not only did they have appetite, but it was strong. Every 2 or 3 hours. But how many of you know, if you try to eat meat every 2 or 3 hours, that wouldn't be healthy.
No.
So when we were babes, amen, every 2 or 3 hours, maybe God satisfied us.
Yeah.
But now you're mature.
Yeah.
You shouldn't need to eat so much. Isn't it a truth of life that the older you get, the less you need to eat?
Yep.
Now understand what I said. Don't miss the word. The word in there was need. Because some of you eat now more than ever, but you don't need to.
Amen.
But isn't it true? When you were younger, you needed to fuel that body, amen?
Yeah.
Because your metabolism was a lot higher.
Yeah.
You would eat and you would burn it off. That's why you could eat a whole chocolate cake and still be looking good. Now you just look at a donut. Right? Because you're older, your metabolism slows down. You don't need to eat as much. Older people don't eat as much as amen? And see this. And just understand that there's some parallel to this. as a young Christian, yeah, I needed God to constantly be feeding me and building me up and helping. But now as I get older, God says, come on, man. You should know by now.
Yes, yes, true.
I should have to keep reminding you. Mm-hmm. Amen? I've given you my word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You got more word now than you've ever had in your life.
True.
That means you should have more faith now.
That's right.
Than you ever had in your life.
Yes.
I'm not always coming with the pacifier for you. Mm-hmm. You're sitting here crying like a little baby and you want me to put the pacifier in your mouth. No. You need to stand up and be a man or woman of God who's been walking with me for a while, who understands my character, who understands my faithfulness, and doesn't always need an audience and need me to do some miraculous thing in order for you to believe me that I'm on your side.
Exactly. Exactly.
I expect that early on in the walk, but we've been walking too long now.
Yes, yes.
Mm. And how many of you know, amen, you dote on your 2-year-old, but when your 2-year-old turns 20, you ain't doting on them no more. You still love them, right. But before you're like, you know, that stuff, you ain't doing that. And so we would see Jesus, and Jesus understand we would see him. But you got to understand, amen, we've been at this for a long time. And we got to, so part of it is, we just going to have to stand there and do what? We're going to have to stand there and believe. This message, amen, you know, this is something that the Lord is speaking to me as much as he's speaking to you, believe me. You ever go to God and talk to him about Gideon? Because you're praying for something and you're believing on something and you just want God to show you something? Mm-hmm. Just give you a little hint that it's going to happen? And you talk about Gideon and his fleece?
Yes.
Well, Lord, you know what you did with Gideon? He said, you know, the fleece, I put the fleece out overnight. If it's dry and the rest of the grass is wet, I know you're going to do it, God. That's exactly what happened. And Gideon go, okay, wait, Lord. But let me put it out again tonight. And this time, if the fleece is wet and the grass is dry, now I know you're going to do it. And God did it. They said Gideon woke up in the morning, took his fleece and squeezed out a whole bowl full of water. You ever want to be like Gideon sometime when you ask God for stuff? God, just show me something. Just, you know. And you do some silly things. I asked God for something this morning. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. And when I came downstairs, next thing you know, the TV was on channel 10. God, am I still going to answer my prayer? We say some silly stuff. We be reaching for all kinds of things to try to say that this shows that God's going to do it. But we like having fleece, amen. I stopped asking God. I don't talk about Gideon no more. I graduated. Because I said, God ain't answering that Gideon stuff no more, amen? Mm-hmm. So then I thought I was going to be slick, Brother James. I was going to talk about Abraham. Because Abraham's the father of the faith. Uh-huh. So one day I'm thinking, I'm going like, yeah, God, I just need you to show me something. And I'm hearing God saying, you just going to have to believe me. But one time God said something to me, I was believing him, and I'm getting this that Gideon thing, and I want something, and he just said, you're going to have to take me at my word. What is it about words that's unsatisfactory for us? As people, words aren't good enough. That's why everything got to be in a contract. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. You just can't give me your word.
Yeah.
You got to sign the paper. I gotta sign the paper to let you know I'm coming back to get my car. How silly is that? I just need to make sure you're going to come back and get the car that you own and still owe the money. I'm getting my car. Words alone aren't good enough for us. That's a problem when it comes to God, isn't it? We can't take a man at his word anymore. We can't take a woman at his word anymore. We're afraid to do that. We need a piece of paper. And that's why maybe we go to God looking for a piece of paper. We're looking for a fleece. So I thought I was going to be spiritual. So I started talking to God about the father of the faith. I started talking about Abraham. I said, God, well, you know, you're telling me to believe you, and Abraham believed you. But you showed him the stars first. You said, God, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can number them. And then you told him, so shall thy seed be. And then he believed you, Lord. So, Lord, I'm just asking you to treat me like Abraham, the father of the faith, and show me something that I can believe in. It didn't work. Why? Because it comes a point in time, and I know this is maybe like, I don't want to hear this, but it's also an encouragement, I believe, if we take it to, that there comes a time where God just said, you just going to have to trust me.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm. No fleece, no stars, no piece of paper. Just what? His word. Let's finish up here. Let's just turn to John chapter 20. Jesus had already gone to the cross, was crucified, was buried, and then he rose again. And in John chapter 20, it tells us, amen, that in verse number 19, that the doors were shut and Jesus came. His disciples were assembled behind locked doors, and Jesus just walked through the walls, amen, and said, peace be unto you. And verse 20 says, he showed his disciples his hands and his side. So the nail prints in his hand, the spear that was thrust in his side, he showed them the wounds. And it said, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. And then they told Thomas, because he wasn't there. And in verse 25, they said to him, we have seen the Lord. And he said to them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Then 8 days later, Jesus came back. This time Thomas is with them. And again, they're behind locked doors, and he comes into the midst and says, peace be unto you. Mm-hmm. And he says to Thomas, put your finger into my hands, and put your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And in verse 28, Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to Thomas, because you've seen me, you believed. And then he said, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Some will say that this seems a bit unfair to Thomas because the disciples didn't believe until Jesus showed him the hands, his hands and his side. And all Thomas was saying is that I want to see the same thing. But I'm not going to believe. But Jesus, without them asking, showed the disciples that. And then when he shows it to Thomas, and Thomas says, my Lord and my God, he said, yeah, that's fine, Thomas. You believe because you see me. But the people who are truly blessed are those who believe without seeing. Mm-hmm. Why did he take Thomas to task, but not take the disciples to task, when both of them only believed because they saw the prince and the wound in the side? Here, I believe, is the issue. Jesus showed it to the 10 who were behind the doors. Judas was already gone. Thomas wasn't there. So he showed it to the 10. Amen. Thomas wasn't there. But over the next 8 days, Thomas had something that they didn't have. He had a word. We saw Jesus. And we saw the nail prints in his hand, and we saw the wound in the side. He had a word. And Thomas said, I don't care, I got a word. I need to see something.
Wow.
And unless I see exactly what you saw, I'm not believing anything. And so Jesus comes back and says, Thomas, here you are. Take a look. And just like the disciples, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. But Jesus quickly rebukes him and said, yeah, you believe me now because I had to come back and show you. But you had a word, and you should have believed me without having to see me. And that is something for all of us who are walking around like the Greek men saying, we would see Jesus. Amen. I got to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I'm right here, but you need to know I'm right here.
Yes, yes.
Without me having to make a special appearance before the time.
Amen.
Blessed are they who believe without seeing.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Isn't that how you get longer and longer in your relationship? You started dating a woman and you said, yeah, I gotta show her I love her, I gotta show her I love her, I gotta show her. And you showed her things, and you did things, and you did things, you did a lot of things. Then as you got older, you married, you stopped doing some of the things, not because you don't care about it anymore, but some of those things, listen, you should need me to.
Amen.
Come on, somebody, I'm just telling the truth, amen. There's certain things that you can't be putting me to task to show me that you love me.
Amen. Amen.
No, no, no. When we first met, I spent a whole lot of time making sure I showed you that I loved you.
Yeah.
But I've been with you for 25 years. I've seen you without makeup.
Yeah.
I woke up next to you and you said good morning. I said, whoa. And part of those things demonstrate my love. I'm still here.
Yes, yes.
And that's what Jesus is saying. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I took everything for you, and I'm still here.
Yes.
Were you jumping up so much? I need to see Jesus. I need to see. I'm right here.
Yes.
I'm going to read one last thing to you, amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version, amen. This is an encouragement to our souls. God is right here, and he says he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, amen. Mm-hmm. In the Amplified Version, amen, when talking about this, I'm not reading all the Amplified, but just this part of it, amen. But Jesus, but the Word of God says, amen. But he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the King James Version. The Amplified Version says, but he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
When we feel like we need to see Jesus and it's not there and it's not coming, glory to God, we need to latch on to promises like these, amen?
Yes.
I will not, I will not, I will not leave you nor forsake you, nor relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Amen.
Amen.
And so So when we get to that point, amen, when we would see Jesus and Jesus doesn't seem to be in a hurry to show himself in the way we think we need to see him, mm-hmm. we always have the word, amen. And we have the word that he said, blessed are they who believe without seeing. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So don't let us not believe that the only way we can be blessed is that we got to see it for ourselves. Amen? You just have to believe it for yourselves. Amen. Jesus will not forsake us. Amen. Neither leave us nor forsake us. Praise God. Let's stand together and pray. Amen. Lord, help us today to take this word and to live it out. Amen. And I'm just like you. I'm just like you. I'm walking around, amen, especially these days, I'm saying, I would see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Especially you're going to do some stuff. Mm-hmm. You're going to do some stuff. You go, I would see Jesus. Amen. Amen. But here's the thing. There are times when we're not going to see Jesus the way or at the time we want to.
That's true.
But I think what God is saying to us is, but don't give up.
That's
amen.
Right.
Don't give up. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for your word, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. David said, but my father and my mother forsake us, then the Lord takes me up. I thank you, God, that you have taken us all up into your loving arms, O God, and you've made this promise to us that you will not, you will not, you will not leave us nor forsake us. Father, as we go through our trials and our tribulations, as we go through our challenges and our troubles, God, help us to understand that you are right there with us. You said in your word that neither height nor depth nor any other creature will ever separate us from the love of God. And so, Father, we thank you for your love that is firmly attached to us as we go through the valley of the shadow of death, as we walk through the waters, as we go through the fire. You made a promise that you would deliver us. Help us to believe on you, O God. Blessed are they who believe without seeing. And God, we truly are desiring to walk by faith, not by sight, even in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the storm. Help us to ignore the boisterous winds and the waves that are crashing all around us, and to keep our eyes on your word, to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you right now that you are encouraging us, oh God, to stay in there, to hang in there, and the time will come because there is an appointed hour where we would see Jesus and that we will see Jesus move in our lives exactly as we need it. Strengthen us in our faith. Amen. For that blessed day. We give you the praise and the thanks now in Jesus' name. God, I ask you to look with kindness upon your people now and bless them, oh God. Water the word, the seed that was sown in their hearts today. And Father God, continue to speak unto us all, oh God. Continue, oh God, to minister this word unto us, oh Father God, that we can become giants in the faith. And Father God, that we can stand firm, believing on you, come what may, knowing that we have a God who will never leave us nor forsake us, but who will be there for us and to bless us, deliver us, and prosper us. And Father, we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. So to you we give all praise, to you we give all thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.